actors are right to be a little wary.
Everybody should be worried because we're going to make fixes that are absolutely necessary.
Exactly what kind of fixes McCain has in mind will be seen quickly when lawmakers return to Washington in January. One of the first tasks on the committee's list is confirmation hearings for Ashton Carter as Secretary of Defense. Juana Summers, NPR News, Washington.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
Ah, the holidays. A time for peace, a time for love.
Look, first of all, let's address a lot of the things that are here.
So Sean Hannity, compassionate guy, huh?
It really throws people.
I'm Guy Raz, finding compassion at Fox News and other stories of empathy. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Saturdays at 3, and again Thursday mornings at 10 on AM 580.
Next time on The World, a 19th century calculating machine.
It was made completely of cogs and gears.
And the woman who discovered its potential.
She had this enormous leap of insight that actually the machine wasn't a mathematical machine, it was a logic machine.
She helped write the first computer program a century before the first computer. Ada Lovelace on The World.
Weekday afternoons at 3 on AM 580.
WILL programs are made possible by Columbia Street Roastery, roasting coffee daily at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Also offering a variety of tea and chai. Open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5:15 p.m. and Saturday mornings from 9 to noon. More information is available at 352-9713.
The U.S. economy, summer into fall, was the strongest in 11 years, if you believe GDP.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, I'm David Brancaccio, reporting from Washington today. News broke this morning that the economy grew at a robust annualized rate of 5% July through September. You have to go back to 2003 to see gross domestic product rise like this. John Sylvia is chief economist at Wells Fargo in Charlotte. John, whom can we thank for this, consumers?
Yeah, definitely robust is the right phrase to use. The consumers definitely picked up that game. And again, it was pretty broad-based. They were buying goods, especially durable goods, and non-durable goods as well, and services. So all three categories for the consumer picked up.
So imagine what's going to happen in the fourth quarter with oil prices this low. That could help. But, you know, looking forward, we're supposed to look forward here, those of us who cover the markets. You think we'll get 5% first quarter of next year?
No, we'll probably get a much better year on average in 2015 relative to 2014. There's always volatility in the numbers on a quarter-to-quarter basis, but the momentum is here because for the consumer, there are more jobs. We see, as you suggested earlier, lower oil prices, lower gasoline prices. Consumer confidence has picked up. All of that suggests the American consumer has some good forward momentum.
Briefly, though, we did also see this morning that durable goods orders, long-lasting expensive goods, dropped off last month. 0.7% has been down a bunch of months in a row.
The interesting complication here is that with the oil shock, there may be even continued weakness in durable goods orders because of the oil equipment that won't be necessary or that firms are not going to want to buy in the short run.
Well, we'll see how it goes in 2015, John. John Sylvia, chief economist at Wells Fargo, thank you so much.
Thank you.
There will be a lot of headlines about the Dow hitting a bit of a milestone today. Yes, for the first time, the Dow crossed above 18,000 this morning. It is up 68 points now, a third of a percent to 18,029. The Dow is an average, and it's not adjusted for inflation. That said, 18K is a symbol of a stock market that has floated upward for more than 2 years now as companies borrow cheaply to buy back their own stock mainly. The S&P 500 is up 0.2% to a new record high there. The NASDAQ is down 0.25%. With oil under $56 today and a Saudi official saying his country won't cut production even if a barrel falls to $20, what about other oil-producing countries? Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports on Venezuela's central challenge.
Oil. The answer is oil.
95% of exports are oil.
That's Siobhan Morden, head of Latin America strategy at Jefferies Group. 95% of exports, 45% of the budget, and the price of oil has fallen by half. The government isn't just earning less money, it's earning fewer dollars. And it owes a lot of money in dollars.
They have to finance imports with dollars. They have to finance debt service. They have to finance capital flight.
Morden says Venezuela depends much more on imports than other Latin American oil producers, so it needs more dollars.
They've destroyed domestic production under the latter stages of President Chavez and then beyond.
What to do? Michael Shifter is president of the Inter-American Dialogue.
Cut back on its oil subsidy to Cuba, Dominican Republic, Jamaica.
Or it could devalue the currency and cut domestic subsidies.
But that runs the risk of a real social explosion.
Earlier this year, 40 people died in anti-government riots. There are food shortages, and inflation is at 65% at last count. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Burst, cloud business analytics engineered to let every business user make better data-driven decisions every moment of every day. Learn more at BIRST.com. Burst. Think fast. And by Kronos, offering cloud-based workforce management solutions designed to reduce labor costs, improve workforce productivity, and minimize compliance risk. More at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
I keep running into people who wonder how the financial services industry has avoided getting the full Silicon Valley treatment. No one's figured out a way to use technology to do to Wall Street what, for instance, Amazon has done to retailing. Brad Katsuyama is CEO of IEX, a system to buy and sell securities that he's trying to turn into a fully fledged stock exchange. Now, he's had luck raising lots of money for his company, but he says he runs into a reluctance to fully take on Wall Street's current way of doing business. Mr. Katsuyama, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, help me understand your point of view here. It's not like Wall Street, the financial services industry, it's not like they're a bunch of Luddites and technophobes. They got fancy computers. They embrace technology.
Technology has changed the way Wall Street works. All of it comes down to information asymmetry. Do I have more information than the person I'm trading against? You want to create very complex structures and complex markets. And as a result of having that information, it becomes harder for other people to challenge what you're doing or even to disrupt what you're doing.
But you have these clever people looking around for ways that they can be the next eBay. And you'd think they'd try to pick off Wall Street with the new technology, but there seems to be some reluctance to roll up their sleeves and get into that space.
A lot of people, in a way, have avoided Wall Street, institutional finance, because of regulation. One of the things that we're trying to do with IEX is to create a market-based solution within the regulation to a known problem that exists in the market, rather than letting this problem increase to the point where it explodes and then the regulators have to come in and make new rules.
The problem, by the way, just to remind people that you're trying to solve, is high-frequency trading, and you think that can hurt the end user, the end investor.
And not all high-frequency trading is bad. The problem is the way the markets have been designed, exchanges, in a way, are enabling certain high-speed traders to disadvantage other traders.
But it's interesting, this point about regulation discouraging the impulse by innovators to come in and try to shake things up on Wall Street is just playing to the incumbent players on Wall Street. It's helping their hand.
It's helping short term. It's hurting long term. Without this disruption looking to right certain market wrongs, it ends up with more regulation. And I think as the industry is more open to disruption, it actually alleviates the need to constantly have to regulate post-scandal.
Brad Katsuyama is president and CEO of IEX, a securities trading system that's working to become a fully fledged regulated stock exchange. Now, you may know Mr. Katsuyama, who is the protagonist in Michael Lewis's Flash Boys book. Brad, thank you.
Thanks very much.
And there's news that Keurig Green Mountain is recalling 7 million of its Mini Plus pod coffee machines. The concern is hot liquid spraying from the things. 200 incidents, 90 people who suffered burns. Type recall into the search box on Keurig's website, K-E-U-R-I-G, by the way, or we tweeted the link, at Marketplace, if you're on Twitter. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, Meg Kramer. In Washington Today, I'm David Brancaccio from APM, American Public Media.
It's Morning Edition on, was Morning Edition on WIOL. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9 HD1 and HD3 Urbana. A couple inches of snow in the forecast for Christmas Eve today, a high of 48. Tonight, a chance of rain, likely late, a low of 38. Rain possibly mixed with snow tomorrow, accumulation of 1 to 2 inches, a high of 38 degrees. And temperatures dropping in the afternoon, wind gusts to around 30 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, blustery, cloudy skies, a chance of snow, the low around 28 degrees. That chance of snow at 50%, partly sunny on Christmas Day, a high of 38. Partly cloudy Thursday night with a low of 32 degrees. Right now, 44 on Friends Plaza. It's 10 o'clock.